301-230-0980, the number. Final hour of power before our pal Chris Russell takes over for you. That's bad. Coming up at 1 o'clock.
You're just knocking everything over.
I'm just breaking things on my way out.
A tantrum like King Kong in there.
Well, that's what happens when Athen calls and blows the show up the way that he did. I got to give some sort of...
You do have to let off, you know, some steam a little bit. I understand.
Don't fault me for being a human is all that I ask. 301-230-0980 is the number. We got to do something about this. I mean, I look horrible. I know I don't usually look horrible.
Well.
Leave it up to you.
You want
to
trade lights? There you go. Never mind.
Yeah, this is.
See, he's fiddling with it. He's
fiddling, diddling, twiddling, either or. We got a lot more to get to here in this final hour. We will get you a preview of Knicks and Pacers game number 2 coming up a little bit later on tonight as well. Super excited about that crazy, crazy start to the conference finals as Minnesota now down 2-0. SGA was in his bag last night. Talked about that in the opening segment of the show. If you missed any of it, download the podcast, download the Odyssey app, and catch up because you should have been here from the get-go. Right now, though, I want to keep the conversation on the Washington Commanders and wrap up these calls on which Commanders vet is most likely to replicate last year's success, Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, or Austin Ekeler. Now, my official answer, I don't even think I gave my official answer. Max, I want you to give yours as well, since we got time for it here. I'm going to go with Bobby Wagner because I think, I don't even know if I really believe that. I'm going to go with Bobby Wagner. I just think he was more important to the defense than Ertz was to the offense last year. And I know that's kind of a debatable take that I just gave, but it's just my thought. I feel like with Ertz, they have other weapons offensively that may cause his numbers to drop. For Bobby Wagner, I don't think that player exists unless this is the year, you know, that Jordan McGee takes a step, or maybe it's the 6th-round rookie Kane Medrano taking a step forward. Maybe it's Dom Hampton getting some more opportunities. Maybe it's Luva. Who knows? But I think on offense, I can think of 3 or 4 guys off the top of my head that their acquisition directly impacts Zach Ertz statistically and what he will be able to do. I still think he is their best red zone target right now to this point. I do still believe that. I know Terry's excellent in the red zone as well. But in terms of understanding leverage, body positioning, things of that nature, Ertz will still have a sizable impact in that category. I just don't know if he will be able to replicate last year statistically. 66 catches for Zach Ertz, man. He was absolutely amazing during his age 34 season. 301-230-0980. DC is in DC. What's going on, DC?
Linnell, all is well, brother. How are you?
What's going on, man? I can't call it at all.
Man, I'm out here enjoying this weather, bro.
Love it.
But honestly, I expect all of vets to duplicate what they did last year. But when I speak of Austin Ekeler duplicating what he's going to – Lane's going to be returning punts. Mm-hmm. He was outstanding at kickoffs. I'm not talking about the offensive side when it comes to Ekeler.
Okay.
And then with Ertz, like you said, it's so many other weapons, he's going to be freed up even more. Now, they might be on him in the red zone more because he is that red zone threat. But I think with those other options, he'll be able to duplicate what he did last year. And then Bobby and the defense, I think they're going to have more turnovers this year. They're going to get the offense more opportunities so those other weapons can, you know, do what they do. I definitely see that with the defense. But then I got a question for you, Linnell.
Yeah. What's up?
You ain't out here starting rumors, man. Where is this Terry skip because of contract?
Let me reword how I said it. I don't think it. Okay, we're gonna assume it was contractually related.
It was Jordan Schultz is the one who put out this information.
Yes,
and he worded it in.
Max got your back.
Jordan, of course.
That's my dog.
Jordan Schultz worded it in a way that kind of made it sound like it could be contract related, yeah. And then our sources tapped into what's going on in Ashburn, and they told us it was nothing burger. Like guys just taking a day off.
He probably wanted to go fish or something.
Yeah.
I got to get on Lanell Max because he's been missing an action for like 2 weeks. So I know he can't get on Terry for missing one day. I ain't heard from Lanell in a couple weeks.
Look, I know, man. You know how I get this time of year, man. But look,
it ain't his fault.
We're back with you. We're back with you consistently here coming up from now until football season. So buckle up, DC. Let me let you go on this, bro, because I'll layer the question for you because I know you're really super tapped into this. Which guy between, and we're just going to keep this one to Wagner and Ertz, which guy does Washington need to replicate last year's success?
The need will be with Bobby Wagner and that defense. I actually think the defense is going to play better this year because they got some guys to help stop the run, and he's going to be able to run cleaner to the ball, I believe. They're not going to be just trying to make plays by themselves. So I see the defense getting more turnovers and playing the run better. So it'll be Bobby Wagner.
I hope so, DC. I'm telling you, if the defense takes a step forward, this is a Super Bowl caliber team, and I think we all really understand.
100%.
Appreciate you as always, brother. 100%. Enjoy the weekend, man. Hope to hear from you soon. Likewise, bro. 301-230-0980 is the number. I do want to switch gears here a little bit. I was supposed to be multitasking like a good radio host while we were taking these calls here. But I do want to get to Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus. He will join us coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. He'll join us with answers to his list that he put out. He ranked the top 10 wide receivers in the National Football League getting geared up for the 2025 season. And I thought his rankings were pretty interesting. So it's list season, by the way. You know how I feel about list season. It's where people, you know, get their stuff aggregated for no reason. The number one wide receiver he has listed in tier one is A.J. Brown. He has A.J. Brown as the best wide receiver in the NFL. I think you can make a strong argument for that when you consider the other pieces he has to compete with offensively, and his quarterback sucks, if we're being honest about it. Kidding on Hurts sucking, but we know he's overrated. He's got A.J. Brown, number one, Justin Jefferson, number two, Ja'Marr Chase, number three, and that wraps up tier one, of the top wide receivers in the NFL. And tier two, he's got Amon-Ra St. Brown as the fourth best wide receiver in the NFL, Puka Nacua of the Rams as the fifth best quarterback, CeeDee Lamb comes in sixth, Nico Collins comes in seventh, Tyreek Hill comes in eighth, Mike Evans, nine, Terry McLaurin ranked as the 10th best wide receiver in the NFL by Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus. Obviously, Terry with a pretty damn good year in 2024. Nobody was more excited about Jaden Daniels coming to D.C. Than our guy Terry McLaurin, a career high when it comes to catches, or excuse me, not catches, 82 catches on the year, 1,096 yards, career high in touchdowns, 13 during the regular season for Terry McLaurin, as he was just awesome, 13.4 yards a catch, his most since 2022. Terry was badass last year. That's the best way that I could put it. 56 catches for first downs. That was tied for the most of his career as well. So Terry, deserving of his standing in the top 10 of wide receivers. It's interesting. Last year, Terry was ranked 17th on this list. And the guys that he was behind, it made you want to punch people because the list just didn't make too much sense. Here is the blurb that Sikkema writes about Terry McLaurin. He admits it. McLaurin is the toughest player to rank on this list. But regardless of where he lands, he's simply a high-level receiver. He leads the NFL in 89 contested catches since 2020 and has a cumulative wins above replacement of 1.31 over the past 3 years, ranking seventh in all NFL wide receivers. So that's very interesting, right, when it comes to where Terry is ranked and what is next for Terry McLaurin. The one thing that gets us all intrigued here is contractually, there is some work to be done when it comes to Terry McLaurin. He is in line for a new deal. This is the final year of his contract here in Washington. The thing that is to the Commanders' advantage is they can franchise tag him over the next 2 years if they really want to. I don't think that's the route they will go, but if they wanted to, they could. Right now, under Terry's current contract, he is 16th in the NFL in terms of per-year salary. obviously, there were a bunch of new receiver contracts given out this offseason. Jamar Chase, as well as T. Higgins. Jamar Chase set to make $40 million. So I'm looking at it from the AAV standpoint here. In terms of AAV for Jamar Chase, it's $40 million per. Justin Jefferson is at $35 million for this year. Next year, this thing kind of balloons for some guys as they'll see the jump in their deal. But based off of Justin Jefferson being up here, Chase, Lamb, DK Metcalf got a new deal this offseason. He's making $33 million per. Amon-Ra St. Brown making $30 million per. Brandon Ayuk making $30 million per. It is going to cost to keep Terry McLaurin in D.C. long-term. Like, I firmly believe that. I think it should because of how talented of a receiver he is. But what I want to get into is this. Terry McLaurin is 29 years old and turns 30 in September. Would Terry's age impact what kind of deal you give him, or are you giving Terry McLaurin a blank check? Has Terry McLaurin earned a blank check from the Washington Commanders? I want your calls on that at 301-230-0980. Tampa Bay Trey will join us coming up here momentarily to expound upon this convo. But because of his age, I do think there is a legitimate convo to be had of, do we pay him? Because let's just be real. Not do we pay him, but what type of contract do we ultimately give? Jamar Chase is making $40 million per. I think you can look at Terry in his face and say, you think you're worth Jamar Chase money? And Terry would say, yeah, but I think realistically speaking, when you look at the numbers, he's probably not. I think he falls in this category of CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra, to name a few. I don't think he's getting the Justin Jefferson $35 million either. But here's the thing, he may. He may, because think about it. Jets signed his wide receiver deal last year, and that was $35 million per. Chase resets the market at 40. If you're Terry, is the starting point for your contract negotiation $35 million? Is that where you start based off of Justin Jefferson's deal last year? And if that's the case, what does a Terry McLaurin contract extension ultimately look like, right? So if it's $35 million per, I think the sweet spot for a deal is 3 years. So if you sign him to 3 years, $35 million, that's a three-year, $105 million deal. And in terms of AAV, it would be second most in the National Football League. That ain't bad. So I think that is the deal that Terry and his representation are pushing for. My question is, do you give him that based on a couple of different things? Age, and then look at the investments you've made at receiver. You drafted Luke McCaffrey last year with a reasonably high pick. You took Jalen Lane this past year in the fourth round. You've invested in Deebo Samuel, albeit just for one season. If that was my money, if I was throwing around Josh Harris's big-time paper, blank check. You give Terry McLaurin exactly what he wants. No reservations, no doubts about it at all. Now, if you're Terry, do you have a little bit of a sweet spot for Washington? Is there a hometown discount that comes into play? Because make no mistake about it, there are three more years left of Jaden Daniels being on this friendly quarterback contract. So I think Terry and his payday coinciding with that makes 110%. I also am in the camp of, if Deebo plays well, I'm paying his ass this offseason as well. People are looking at Deebo with some one-year rental. I completely disagree. I think it's ultimately dependent upon how well he performs. You don't let good football players walk out of your building.
And the other thing is, like, salary cap's going to go up. Prices are going to go up. So you might as well make these deals as soon as you can.
And I think that is the foresight that this organization honestly hasn't moved with over the past 10, 15 years when it comes to contract decisions. 301-230-0980 is the number. Line up on the phones. We'll get to you coming up before we get out of here. But right now, I want to take a time out and go back to the guest hotline for the second time this show. We'll pause, pay some bills. When we come back, Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus joins us next to give us his thoughts on what type of deal could Terry McLaurin be in line for. That is next on the Team 980. Still rocking and rolling right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Lynnell Willingham taking you up to 1 p.m. Chris Russell will follow things up. Right now we go out to the guest hotline for the second time. This show is where we will continue our conversation surrounding Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin. We're joined by the man of the hour. We've been talking about y'all hour, big fella, Trevor Sikkema, better known as Tampa Bay Trey, joining the program, lead draft analyst for PFF. Make sure you check out him and my guy Connor Rogers for the NFL Stock Exchange show. You can check that out on YouTube. Just a handsome duo, if I might say, myself, Trevor. I appreciate you giving us some time, man. I feel like it's been forever.
I know. I appreciate you having me back on, man. I know when you texted me to come on the show, I was like, oh, man, I haven't popped on with Lynnell in a little while. So this would be a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me.
Yes, indeed, man. I always love talking to you during this time of year because I call it list season, Trevor. Everyone's putting out their lists ahead of 2025. Last year, I believe PFF had Terry McLaurin ranked that as the 16th best wide receiver in the NFL. This year, he jumps all the way up to 10. Trevor, I want you to explain the first line of this blurb. McLaurin is the toughest player to rank on this list. Why is your evaluation of Terry oftentimes so difficult?
Yeah, I think it's because, you know, one, ranking wide receivers in the NFL, especially when you were in, I would say, like, tier one, tier two, tier three, really the top 20 wide receivers, it's very difficult. Like, the it's razor thin margins for a lot of these guys. And then especially once you get outside of, I would say, the top eight, like, a lot of it's kind of preference and style. And so I think that when you look at a guy like McLaurin, he suffers from being really good at everything, but maybe not having that, like, Hollywood type of trait. Right? Like, think of Drake London or Mike Evans, right? Or even T. Higgins, right? Like, these when you think of these wide receivers, you think of that ability to be above the rim, the red zone, the contested catching, their work when it's scoring touchdowns, when space is at a premium. It's easy to envision that. Or if you think of guys like, you know, let's say Jalen Waddle, right? You automatically think of, okay, the speed, the explosiveness, world-class speed. When you think of Terry McLaurin, he's just a damn good wide receiver. But then it's like, okay, well, what's his calling card? You know, like, where am I? Why am I putting him exactly above a T. Higgins or a Jalen Waddle or a Devontae Smith or something? And so sometimes Terry suffers actually from being really good at everything, which is a funny way to go about it. And ultimately, I landed with him at number 10 on my rankings. And I'll be honest, I had him sort of all over the place, like within that range, anywhere from, I think I considered him like 9 to 15. I feel like he could have gone anywhere. But the more that I looked at it, the rest of that blurb as you read it, you know, you talk about DK Metcalf or Mike Evans or Drake London and all these guys who have great contested catchability. Terry McLaurin has the most contested catches of any receiver since 2020.
Yeah.
And I looked that up as I was doing research, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to fault him for that, certainly. And then last year, we got to see what he was like with a true franchise quarterback throwing him the football. And I just feel as though we got to see more of the best of Terry McLaurin throughout the entire year because of his connection with Jaden Daniels. And a metric that we have at PFF that it's not quite PFF exclusive, but we're one of the only places that's really doing it publicly, is that wins above average metric that we have. And really, in a three-year sample size, which is something I tried to do for this exercise that was ranking a lot of these wide receivers. You know, I'm looking at one-year sample size. You know, what have you done for me lately last year? But then I also like to do the three-year sample size as well. Terry McLaurin, seventh in the NFL amongst wide receivers for wins above replace, for wins above average. So it just it showcases that this is a guy that has the argument to be called a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, and obviously having him at number 10, I've got him right there on the edge of that.
So our friends at the 33rd team actually credited him with the most yards via the go route last year, 384. So when we talk about like that special trait in him, maybe not just having one thing that sticks out, I think it that stat kind of speaks to it perfectly. He's great at contested catches. He also could take the top off of a defense. You mentioned him and Jaden Daniels this past year getting to pair up with each other and helping Washington's offense be one of the more explosive ones in all of the NFL. How do you think the additions of Jalen Lane and Deebo Samuel impact Terry McLaurin from a target standpoint? And do you still think, you know, he will have the same statistical or similar statistical output as last year?
Well, volume might go down a little bit naturally, but I will tell you that it's sort of the answer that I think everybody would give is I think the efficiency only goes up, right? Yeah. I think that you have the ability to put him in a lot of really good situations. I like Jalen Lane and Deebo Samuel specifically because it pairs very well to what you just said there. I think that people think that Jalen Lane, oh, look at this guy, you know, he runs super fast. He's going to be able to take the top off the defense himself. They'll send him deep on vertical routes, and they will do that with him. But if you watch his film at Virginia Tech last year, Virginia Tech was trying to get the ball in his hands in any way.
Yeah.
And that meant, you know, screens, slants, but even wide receiver reverses. You know, they were giving this guy the ball behind the line of scrimmage. And so you think about Deebo Samuel and when he was at his best back in 2021 being utilized as a wide receiver and also a running back at times with what he could do out of the backfield as a ball carrier. You've now got two guys that you lean on pretty heavily in that area. And I think that just really frees up Terry to be more of that intermediate and deep wide receiver on the team. As the defenses have to creep up, you know, you're hoping that, you know, they're going to have to creep up a little bit to guard Deebo Samuel and Jalen Lane. That's when Terry McLaurin can really help you and kill the other team deep down the field. And, you know, he is fast, right? Yes. I don't want to take anything away from Terry McLaurin. But it's funny, it's a little bit less explosive, it's a little bit more smooth, and then I think that the calling card for him deep down the field is that deep ball tracking and that separation that he creates right as the ball is coming in. It's so subtle, it's so smooth, it's so savvy, and again, the way that Terry McLaurin wins isn't always Hollywood. It's not always the way that people get to point to and say, like, yes, elite, dominant here, but when you put all the pieces together, you get a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, I think. And I think that, again, just having Jaden Daniels and allowing him to showcase that more with that franchise quarterback throwing him the football, it just became too obvious to where I said, you know what, we've got to bring it. We've got to move. Too many years now we have said, well, if McLaurin had a great receiver, he did.
Yeah.
And he showcased us that he was able to do all of this at an even higher level with a great quarterback throwing in the football. And with that, yeah, I think you have to move him up those rankings.
And Trevor, you know how we are here locally in D.C. I credit us as one of the smarter fan bases in the NFL. People were ready to riot. This offense was scoring 30-plus points a game early in the season, Trevor, and Terry wasn't getting the ball. People were ready to riot about it. Cliff did a nice job moving him around. I know it was something that you all wrote about last year. I'm excited to see how he evolves. He was not at the OTA session the other day. My sources internally in D.C. say it's not a big deal. One could think it's because of the contract that is looming for him. Right now, his $22.7 million AAV ranks 16th in the National Football League. Where do you think he slots when he puts pen to paper on this new deal? And then I guess a two-parter for you. Should there be some hesitancy with Washington to give him the bag, so to speak, because this is his age 30 season coming up?
Yeah, I without having the list right in front of me, I would say that I think he'll land somewhere between the fifth and eighth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL when he gets this new contract. Like
Trevor, fifth AJ Brown at $32 million, eighth Tyreek Hill at 30. So
yes, okay. So I think it will be somewhere like within that range. And I think there's probably, now that you say those names, I think there's, and their AAV, I think there's probably a couple of players that really are also within that 30 range who might be, you know, like 9th, 10th, 11th. So I think it'll be somewhere within there, but I think they're going to want to do well by McLaurin, who is really, from all accounts, certainly from this side of things, has been a leader for them throughout some years that were disappointing, certainly on the offensive side of the football. And I think that they will want to reward him. It feels like the ownership and just the culture that is the Washington Commanders now are going to want to do that. And so I think that he would land somewhere between that fifth to eighth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. And honestly, I wouldn't have hesitancy. And the reason why is because right now you have the most valuable thing in all of sports. And that is a franchise caliber quarterback who is playing on a rookie contract, even with him getting drafted number two overall, because you think about it, Jaden's going into his second year of his rookie contract. That rookie contract goes at least 4 years, likely that fifth year option. But of course, I think Washington will probably do the right thing and will probably get ahead of that once they get to that fourth year. If McLaurin's got, he's got one more year on his deal, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's got one more deal, like year on, or one more year on his current deal. If you sign him to a 3-year extension,
right? That's the number.
That then, that then lines up the timeline with when you would then have to pay Jaden Daniels. And at that point, Terry McLaurin is, you know, he's going to be 33, 34, whatever it is. And you're probably looking at shifting who your top wide receiver option is there anyway. Right. So I think that all parts of this line up for the fact that Terry's going to get a new deal. It's going to be a 2-3 year extension, something like that. They're going to pay him to get him back into the top eight of wide receivers paid per year. And I think that it just lines up with exactly where this team is in their winning window, very clearly getting to that NFC championship game last year.
So DK Metcalf slotted to make $33 million annually on the new deal that he signed in Pittsburgh. I would think Terry, same draft class as DK, if I'm not mistaken, will want to pass that number. So I was looking, Trevor, kind of at 3 years, $34 million per. That would make it 3 years, $102 million. So it seems like the guarantees obviously will impact that, but I think we're on the same page here. What do you say to some of the Terry McLaurin detractors, though, Trevor? Because, you know, we follow this thing closely here in D.C. You look at that Atlanta Falcons overtime game where Jaden Daniels strapped the team to his back. Terry McLaurin going up against A.J. Terrell, one of the top corners, 7 targets, just 1 reception. You go back to that first meeting against Philadelphia on Thursday Night Football, going up against Quinion Mitchell, just 1 catch, 2 targets. What are the limitations of his game, and how much does that factor in when you're determining whether or not to give him the deal or not?
Yeah, look, I think it's a situation where, like, you're going to continue to see growth from him. I really do, like, especially in those single coverage situations.
Yeah.
And I think that will happen with established quarterback play, to be honest with you, like good quarterback play. Like, I think right. that the single coverage numbers will get better for him even this upcoming season. And look, you know, there are some these great cornerbacks, they get paid a lot of money too. You know, I know you obviously pay your top wide receiver to win those matchups more often than not, but I would argue that I think that Terry McLaurin wins those options more often than not. And the thing is that sometimes guys aren't necessarily these single coverage dominators, and I think sometimes you want them to be, but hey, sometimes the defense just has a really good game plan for you. And I think that that's the whole reason why you trade for a Deebo Samuel, why you go get a Jalen Lane, is because it's not as much like, oh, we've got to go get somebody to help Terry because he can't dominate himself. No, like you want to be able to have a good pass game ecosystem, right? For Jamar Chase exists, but the Bengals still paid T. Higgins, right?
Right.
A.J. Brown still exists, but you still got Devontae Smith right there. Puka Nacua is phenomenal, but you still went and you signed Devontae Adams. Like, I just think that what I would say to the detractors and people who would bring that up is just like, wait till this year, man. I think that this year we're going to see a really efficient, really good Terry McLaurin, because Cliff Kingsbury is going to have the opportunity to put him in a lot of really advantageous situations, especially if Deebo looks anything close to that 2021 version of Deebo Samuel, now that he's in a new system, now that he's hopefully healthy, and he's not as frustrated like he clearly was last year in San Francisco. And so that's sort of what I would say to him, is that, man, there's a lot of numbers that point to him being arguably a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, and I think those numbers only get stronger this upcoming season.
Couple of more moments with our pal Trevor Sikkema, the lead draft analyst for PFF, also the co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange podcast with Connor Rogers. You can check that out on YouTube and wherever you download your podcasts. I know you've been high on the burgundy and gold this offseason, my friend. I've seen a lot of the work that you've done on Washington, and you liking the additions that they have made. If you're making a short list of Super Bowl contenders, teams that are in that conversation, how firmly entrenched is Washington there?
Has to be, right? I mean, you look at what they did last year in their first year of a lot of those guys coming together. Now, I will say this, it gets harder to repeat success the longer you do it. So it will certainly take the next step for Jaden Daniels. It will take the next step specifically for Cliff Kingsbury, right? Because there are a lot of times where Kingsbury has had success in this league or college football or whatever it is, and then he kind of gets figured out a little bit here. So he absolutely has to evolve. But you look at this roster, it's still a really great roster. I like the additions that they have made. I am a big Dan Quinn guy, somebody who I think can get the most out of his players. The players absolutely love him. I think that we saw that even in the last couple of years that he was struggling with the Atlanta Falcons. Those players still played for him at all times. And so whatever these guys have in the tank, I think they're going to give it to this team and to this coaching staff. And so you have to absolutely have Washington in that category, because they were one game away from it last year. So I think that this is a team that got better. I am a little bit worried about their front seven. I think a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Like, if there's an area that I'm really concerned with, it's that, as well as certainly the secondary and how it's going to shape out, right? How good is Marshawn Lattimore, and how available is he going to be for them this season? How much can they get out of that second-round pick in Trey Amos, who I was a big fan of? Mm-hmm. But we'll see. It's tough to play corner as a rookie in the NFL. And then what are you doing with Mike Sanders still? Is he playing more in the slot? Are you keeping him to the outside? What are you doing with the rest of that cornerback group? So I actually think that it's going to continue to be fireworks for them on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, can that defense be a little bit more stout, really take that next step and maybe even get them into the Super Bowl this year?
They're going to have to, going up against a much more difficult set of offenses in 2025. You brought up the front seven. Real quick, your thoughts on some of their immediate replacements, Trevor, because this is where some of the detractors go and point. You swapped out John Allen for Javon Kinlaw. You swapped out Jeremy Chinn for Will Harris. I think anybody with good football eyes would tell you they downgraded at both of those two spots. How much of an impact do you expect that to play? I think Marshawn, like you mentioned, is the linchpin of the defense.
Right.
If he plays well, everything changes.
Right. I think that they need a huge year from Johnny Newton, who is somebody that I absolutely loved when he was fully healthy at Illinois. But, like, he's got to take that next step. I mean, Kinlaw really struggled with the 49ers. He struggled with the Jets. I guess I can sort of, like, understand the familiarity of him coming over and playing for a familiar Commander system. But I just I'm a little bit wary of how much money they gave him. I like the Dietrich Wise addition, but I think he's more of like a rotational depth guy. Dorrance Armstrong, I guess you're leaning on him. I mean, he's kind of got to be your sack guy this year, and he's got to take that next step as well. But to me, a lot of it revolves around Johnny Newton. Because if Newton is good, then all of a sudden you got him and Deron Payne in the middle. Armstrong is at least solid as one of your edge rushers. Dietrich Wise, I think, could be solid and very versatile for you as well. That, to me, could be a defensive line that is good enough. But if Newton doesn't take that next step, now you start getting a little bit worried, because now you got to put a little bit too much on the plate of guys who you might not be ready for.
For sure. Appreciate your time, as always, my friend. Keep up the good work. We will talk soon, my man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Anytime.
That is Tampa Bay Trey, a.k.a. Trevor Sikkema. Give him a follow on all social media platforms, at Tampa Bay Trey. Doesn't get much better than talking to Trevor Sikkema when it comes to the burgundy and gold. He was pretty savage about the defense, don't you think? Not a fan of the Javon Kinlaw signing. Really thinks Johnny Newton's going to have a big year. We had a lot to chew on between now and the start of training camp, but if that conversation didn't do it, we're getting warmed up, man. We're right there, right getting close to crossing the finish line when it comes to the NFL season getting kicked off. As I mentioned, next week, the first time that the entire team is going to be made available on the practice field to the media. Can't wait for that to happen. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. One final segment before we hand things over to Chris Russell.
All right, last night, the Nats, they walk off the Atlanta Braves. They win by a score of 8-7. Robert Hassel becomes the first Nat to notch two hits and one stolen base in the Nationals' debut. The Nats extend their win streak to 5 games. The Panthers, they wax the Hurricanes 5-0 in the series to take a 2-0 lead. The Thunder, they beat the Timberwolves 118-103. The 2025 MVP, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, put up 38 points, 3 rebounds, and 8 assists. They jump out to a 2-0 lead in the series as well. Caitlin Clark, her 140-game streak of scoring at least one three-pointer has come to a close. The Fever still able to pull out the win 81-76. And the Colorado Rockies, they are off to the worst 50-game start in MLB history after they are swept by the Philadelphia Phillies. They sit at 8-42. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10-1 and Craig Hoffman from 4-7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Big thank you to our guy, Trevor Sikkema, who just joined us and came off the top rope a little bit, man. And look, it's real. He has some question marks about the Commanders' defense as they get geared up for 2025. One guy he doesn't have questions about, Scarence Terrence, as I have nicknamed him. One Terry McLaurin, a.k.a. Scary Terry, in line for a brand new contract. This is the final year of his rookie deal. And Trevor Sikkema had him ranked as the 10th best wideout in the National Football League, up from 17th a year ago via PFF's rankings. I think Terry is in for a big-time season again. I think he's proved himself as a bona fide star at the position. Our guy, AJ, who is one-third of the Trap or Dive podcast, AJ, DC Sports, Dre, Jamal Forrest, make sure you check them out wherever you get your podcasts. Always love tapping in and joining them on occasion. He typed in the chat on X, would take Malik Nabers over Terry McLaurin right now. Even with a better quarterback, he disappeared in games. He's referencing that Falcons game on Sunday Night Football. He is referencing that Thursday Night Football game against Philadelphia. That Dallas Cowboy game, the second Cowboy game where he scored that 80-yard touchdown, 86-yard touchdown at the end. He had 102 yards on the day. So before that, he was in no man's land against the second and third corners of the Dallas Cowboys. So anybody out there, you know, that wants to, you know, take umbrage with Terry and his lack of production at times, you are, you know, more than free to do so. Even in the game against Philadelphia the second time, five catches for 60 yards. He had a 32-yard catch for a touchdown, though. So you take out that touchdown reception. He struggled a little bit in that football game. So that's twice against Quinyon Mitchell that Terry McLaurin did not play particularly well. Now, yeah, I know how I feel about Terry. Terry is – I love Terry.
Terry got locked up by the Giants twice.
Terry did get locked up by the Giants twice as well. So
it's tough.
It is.
So, but I love him.
It's hard. Like, I get what AJ was tweeting at us saying, like, you know, he disappears at times. The numbers we just read you show you damn right he disappears at times. But there are also, for every Giants game that he has, there's that Saints game where he goes 7 for 73.
Exactly.
He really should have had 10 for 190.
There's the Bengals game where he goes four catches for 100 yards and a tutty.
Could have had more than that in that game. Yeah. So it's difficult with Terry. The one thing that Trevor said that I actually totally agree with, and you don't a lot of the times hear this about a player that's entering his age 30 season, he thinks Terry's got room to get better. And I agree with that as well. I think he is continuing to layer his game and become a better football player all around. Did you know the number that I gave out, Max, that he led the NFL in deep and go route yards last year?
Really?
Like that's via the 33rd team.
Given that Jaden Daniels is a quarterback, that shouldn't surprise me as much as it does.
Right.
Because
C. Neighbors and Brian Thomas, yeah.
Correct. Yeah, Jaden's the slot fade merchant.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a really interesting number from Terry. Because you don't think of Terry as like the run straight down the field and burn a guy.
That's just right.
Dude. Like, he's more of the route runner, the incredible hands.
Contested catches, tough catches, you know. It's interesting because I think we all appreciate him here locally. I think last year, going into the season, with his 17th overall ranking, I remember sitting here with Chris Russell. Like, we were having the convo of like, is Terry underrated or overrated here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had a mixed bag of calls. Jaden, in his rookie campaign that he had, definitely, I would think, just from Twitter, calls, you name it, he allowed Terry to recapture the fan base emotionally, so to speak. Because I think statistically and just from a pure play standpoint, he's been the same guy, you know. And I'm not saying that as a slight. Like, he's steady Eddie, Mr. Consistency, stays after practice and catches balls, a pillar in the community. Terry McLaurin is the face of the Washington Commanders still, for my money.
Absolutely.
I understand Jaden, you know, came out like gangbusters last year, but he is the face of the Washington Commanders, and I don't have any sort of shame in saying that. So,
no.
301-230-0980. A couple minutes left. Let's get to Little before we get out of here. Little, what did you think about Terry McLaurin's ranking, and when it comes to the contract, are you willing to make him a top five paid wide receiver?
Big fella.
What's going
shout
on,
out to
brother?
Mad Max. Oh, he going to get his money. Terry going to get his money. But I keep hearing a lot of people, and yourself, Linnell,
mm-hmm.
talking about we going backwards on the backside. Now, your boy Jeremy Chin, let me explain something. I'm going to get off the line. I'm making it quick. Your boy Jeremy Chin was 4'6 and a 40. We bring in Harris 4'3 and a 40. We bring in Jones, another 4'3 and a 40. If anything, we gain a lot of speed, man. I'm going to tell you one thing about your boy. I played the Max played safety, I played safety.
Okay.
I was a box safety. I played strong safety back in the 80s. All the way through Little League,
all the way up, number 11 boys club, I always play safety. One thing about a safety position, you got to control your angle when you're ready to bring that wood. Mm-hmm. And your boy, man, was out of place about 5, 6, 7, 8 times, man.
I give you that little. I'm telling you, that was his big problem, especially early on.
Yeah, man. And I like, you know what? You know what that, you know where that come from? Now, if you got the speed, you right up in that running back chest, like I told Max.
Yeah.
You right up in the receiver's face. But if you got speed, you can't, hey, man, look, hey, speed take away a lot of things.
Speed
like
kills.
Your boy was just a step slow. Yeah. Now, if I was him, I'd put on 15, 20 pounds to try to play linebacker. And
come on, Chin.
One other thing I like to see. My man McCaffrey, I call him White Chop. the wide receiver is loaded. If you're listening to me, White Chocolate, man, get on them weights, get you some beef jerky and broccoli, and line up with the running backs this year. Line up with the running backs, young man.
Yeah.
Show them people.
Little, remember last year, right?
Put that tape out on your brother.
You remember the video I put out last year, Little, of him, man, look, working with
15,
with,
20 pounds, get in the weight room, beef broccoli and jerk broccoli.
What'd you say, Little, beef broccoli and what?
They call beef broccoli and jerk broccoli. They got it at any Jamaican store. You get the jerk.
Get him a beef patty. Get him some plantain. Get him everything, little. Beef him up.
Hey, look. And guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what the momentum is? They're in the weight room.
Yeah.
And that kid, I'm telling you now, I like to see him in the run. And guess what? Get number 33. And let me see what you can do. White chocolate. God bless y'all.
You want to put it? I appreciate you, Little. 301-230-0980. You can download the entire show wherever you get your podcast. YouTube stream up still as well. Real quick before we get out of here, because I just want to be poignant. This show is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan live Monday through Friday from 10 to 1. Craig Hoffman live Monday through Friday from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream, turn on your notifications, and stay up to date on all things DC sports. Memorial Day weekend out there. I know some of you all going to be in your birthday suits. I hope y'all was in the gym.
I'll be here Monday at 6 a.m.
Bright and early. I'm back with you Monday as well, 2 to 6 on the Fan, and I'm back with you next week as well. So be well. Chris Russell. No, he's not going to be wearing a bathing suit this weekend.
I hope
he is
not.
Next.